Good morning to you all. God's love and grace and blessings be with you. As Deacon John focused on the gospel passage today, I would like to take a few moments to focus on the epistle reading today. And I also want to focus, and keep this in your mind, upon the 220 Chinese Orthodox Christian martyrs who were martyred in about 1900 in the Boxer Revolution. So have that in your mind. We're going to come to them in a moment. The epistle reading today, I'll refer to your flyers, your bulletins, and if you'd like to follow along, you're welcome to do so. Just as a reminder, the passages that are following Pentecost in our gospel are from the Gospel of Matthew, and the passages, the epistle readings, are from the Paul's epistle to Romans. And so we're in the second week following Pentecost, the revelation of God as the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. And please listen to this. Brothers and sisters, glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. All who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. When Gentiles who have not the law do by nature what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that what the law requires is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or perhaps excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. This powerful epistle reading today and Paul's powerful epistle to the Romans, not that all of his epistles are not powerful, focuses on the law. But what I really want to highlight today is that it is the doers of the law who are justified, not the hearers of the law. And furthermore, that the doers of the law are those who have the law inscribed on their heart. It's not some kind of a legal perspective where they are doing something because they are told to, but rather it is inscribed, as we hear in this reading today, in their heart. Furthermore, this is written to Jew and Gentile law alike, to those who have the Mosaic law on the one hand, and to those who are human beings on the other hand, because, just as a reminder to us all, we are all, every human being that ever has existed and ever will exist, created in God's image, and have the ability, through God's grace, by the natural creation in which we are created, to follow God's law, that law that is eternally written on our hearts. Now, I don't want to confuse us too much. Paul speaks about the Mosaic law. He speaks about a few different laws. But what he is really emphasizing here is what naturally you and I as human beings are created to do. What are we created to do? We are created to be like God. And what does that mean? We are created to be God-like. We are created to be loving. We are created to be compassionate. We are created to be forgiving. We are created to be kind. We are created not to be judgmental. We are created not to be to think of ourselves as more highly than another. And so, therefore, God's law is for Jew and Gentile alike, for Jew and Greek. He's not talking about the Greeks like we might think of them. He's talking about everyone who is not a Jew, because essentially that whole world in the area of which he was, the Mediterranean world, was Hellenized, right? And so everyone, even if they were, whether they were Greek-speaking of Greek heritage or not, they were Hellenized. So he's speaking about Jew and non-Jew alike. Let's put it into our day, speaking to Christian and non-Christian alike, speaking to every single human being. And the challenge is the same for every single human being, and that is to be like God. So that is what our opportunity is. Think for 2 weeks prior to this, where we celebrated Pentecost. And as a reminder, Pentecost was a Jewish feast. By the very fact, one of the names for that Jewish feast, the Hebrew word is Shacharith, and the Greek word is Pentecost. And it was 50 days following their Passover. And there were Jews gathered from the entire region for this major feast, as it was one of the handful of major feasts of Judaism. And they were gathered from the entire region in Jerusalem. And they were there primarily to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, the wandering of the Jewish people in the wilderness as they wandered for 40 years following their first Passover before entering back into the Promised Land. And in particular, remembering the receiving of the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments by Moses on Mount Sinai in that wandering period. So a reception of the law, it was remembered. But Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God the Father, transformed that original Feast of Pentecost into a new Feast of Pentecost. And that new Feast of Pentecost, which we celebrated 2 weeks ago, was a feast of the receiving of the Holy Spirit, receiving of the grace of God. And so no longer relying primarily on the law, but relying on the grace of God in order to reclaim our fallen nature, where our tendency, rather than to be loving and kind and compassionate and caring and forgiving, is to be judgmental and backbiting, and when we are hurt, to hurt worse than we have been hurt. But by the grace of God, the opportunity to reclaim that fallen nature by God's love. Sweet Catherine. So that is what we celebrated 2 weeks ago, and today, a reminder that you and I have been created in God's image, and by the response to his presence in our life, have an opportunity, Jew and Gentile alike, Christian and non-Christian alike, we have an opportunity by God's presence in our life to once again be caring, be loving, be kind, be compassionate. Let's take advantage of this opportunity. In the world in which we live, where there are so many things that are contrary to that, that are lived out in all arenas of life, in business, in commerce, in schools, in interpersonal relationships, in families, in politics. And all arenas of life, there are so many opportunities to not be God-like. You and I have the opportunity, have the call to be God-like. And I thought it was very appropriate that I end my remarks today with a little bit of a biography of the 220 Chinese martyrs. And I'm going to read that very briefly to you. The holy martyrs of China were native Chinese Orthodox Christians brought up in piety at the Russian Orthodox Mission in Peking, which had been founded in 1685. During the Boxer Rebellion of 1900, against the foreign powers occupying China, native Chinese Christians were commanded by the Boxers to renounce Christianity or be tortured to death. 222 members of the Peking mission, led by their priest Metrophanes Chaicheng and his family, refused to deny Christ, and were deemed worthy of a martyric death. I bring their example to your attention, to our attention today, because so often, maybe all too often, we think of martyrs as those who were in the first century or the second or the fifth century, right? It's so important for us to think of contemporary martyrs. And believe me, there are many. From communism in different parts of the world to a couple of years ago, the Egyptian Christians who were beheaded by ISIS. They chose faith in God, love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as a witness even to the point of death. So through the powerful intercessory prayers of these Chinese Orthodox Christian martyrs of 1900, the 220 martyrs, Father Metrophanes, his family, and 200 more of his parishioners, through their powerful intercessory prayers, through the prayers of the Virgin Mary and St. Catherine the Great Martyr, may you and I live a Christian life. May you and I not just say we're Christians, but may we live day in and day out, step in and step out, a life of repentance as a Christian for God's glory. His love and his mercy endures forever.